The court will proceed to the second case of the day, Yu Chen v. Holder. Mr. Ma.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Peng Chen Ma for the petitioner in this case. Your Honors, we are here again today to ask the court to review the determination made by the immigration judge and also the Board of Immigration Appeals regarding the application of my client for asylum based on the fact that he was mistreated when he was in China because of his resistance to the China's one-child policy, and also because of a forced abortion performed on his wife after he left the country, or he learned after he left the country. Again, here, we have issue of reviewing the credibility determination made by the immigration judge and also the Board of Appeals.
We're really reviewing the Board of the BIA's decision here, though, right?
They
have a separate order.
Right.
And credibility is the sort of thing to which we owe substantial deference to the Board.
Your Honor, that's right, but substantial deference should not be interpreted as without review, because we have to review the reasoning and the basis of the determination. In here, the basis of the BIA and also the judge. Basically, some discrepancies in his testimony, in my client's testimony. For instance, the age, the difference between the age he stated and the date of birth of his child. He may be 1 or 2 years different.
But the board has, I'm looking at page 3 of the appendix. The board has this long paragraph in which they review the various points that the immigration judge had made, and they say we're particularly persuaded by the cumulative impact of the following reasons, and then they go through to set them out. One of them is the fact that he doesn't know how old his son is, and I guess maybe you're right that some people don't know how old their children are, but I can't imagine why the board is not permitted to draw a negative inference from that. It seems to me most people actually do know how old their children
Your Honor,
are.
It's a common occurrence every day. Sometimes I can remember my son's date of birth. I could easily
maybe you can't, but yeah. Why can the board not say one of the factors is that he doesn't know how old his son is? Another factor: how many people were attacking him? This electric shock business. Even if we don't get into the abortion certificate, I understand. You know, there's more you can say about that. Two addresses. You know, what is his address? The board just says when you throw all this in, he really hasn't persuaded us. Maybe he would have persuaded this court, but that's not our question.
Your Honor, those discrepancies do not go to the heart of the claim, whether there is an abortion.
This is a post-Real ID case, though.
Yes.
We're not following this heart of the claim theory.
I understand, but still, if minor differences in the testimony that does not go to the heart of the claim, of course, you can. If we don't review those circumstances in relation to the claim, it could easily for the BIA to infer some negative credibility inferences, to have some inferences that a witness is not credible. But here, the misstatement of the age and also the number of people came to his house when he stated to the airport, that has nothing to does not have a lot of things to do with whether there an abortion occurred, whether he was mistreated. in the confusion, he might perceive that there were three people, two people, or four people came to his house. But in his testimony, he clearly stated the four people came to his house, and he was about to be handcuffed by the police or by one of the officers.
Let me ask you this question. Is his claim, if you had to choose, is his claim more about the abortion that his wife was required to undergo, or is it more about his fear, should he be returned to China, of sterilization himself?
Your Honor, this is the issue I want to discuss today. The judge and BIA made a determination that his mistreatment in China did not rise to the level of persecution. For instance, one time encounter with the family planning officials. I want to say that we have to make a determination whether he was involved in the resistance and whether he was mistreated. But we have to consider whether the wife had a forced abortion. We have to combine all the factors. We're not saying he fears to go back because he may be further mistreated or may be persecuted. We have to consider the wife's abortion and also his involvement in the resistance. We are requesting that the court should consider both the abortion and also his involvement in the incidents. Now, the certificate of abortion. This has become a very constant document, and a lot of cases involve this kind of documents. The government relies on Huang, that's the case determined by this court, and also the BIA, and also the judge. They relied on this case very heavily, saying that if there is a certificate of abortion, and then the abortion is voluntary, it's not involuntary. But in Huang, we discussed the Huang case in our brief. The Huang case is different from our case. In the Huang case, the wife was forced to have an abortion, but the petitioner, the applicant was the husband. The husband submitted the certificate without anything from the wife. But here, this court noted, if something from the wife was presented to the court, the situation might be totally different. But in our case, not only the certificate of abortion, and also we have an affidavit in letter form from his wife stating that she was forced to have an abortion after they separated. That's totally different. And the Xiao case, the government relied on the Xiao XIAO case. That's also a certificate was submitted, and the applicant was the wife. But the thing is that the immigration judge and the BIA found that the wife was not credible because he never mentioned his forced abortion when he was interviewed by the immigration officer. Here is totally different. When my client was interviewed by the officer, he clearly stated he was persecuted because of his resistance to the to family planning policies. And after he was released, he learned that his wife was forced to have an abortion. It is a reasonable extension of the persecution claims in family planning matters. First of all, if the husband is involved in the forced abortion or he resisted in the abortion, although the mistreatment he received might not arise to the level of persecution if we consider the incident alone, but we have to consider subsequent or the actual abortion performed on his wife. This situation is totally different from a case where the husband is not home or the husband is abroad or at the time of the incident they were married, later on they divorced. under the previous regulations, if the husband, even if they divorced, they had, he was not the involved in the incident, still he would be eligible for asylum. But in this case, we have the involvement of my client in the incident. He resisted the family planning office officials, and also he was mistreated, he was slapped, he was beaten, and also he was about to be handcuffed before he managed to escape. And secondly, his wife was forced to undergo an abortion. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Ma. Mr. Goring.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Alex Goring on behalf of the government, Your Honor. Your Honor, this petition for review should be denied because the record evidence does not compel the finding that this petitioner provided sufficient, credible evidence to establish his eligibility for asylum. As Your Honor noted, this is a post-Real ID Act case. Petitioner's arguments concerning the discrepancies going to the heart of the claim is irrelevant. This Court has noted, and the Real ID Act makes clear, that standard has been abrogated. Indeed, the Real ID Act makes clear that an immigration judge can base an adverse credibility finding on facts that aren't even relevant to the particular claims.
Let me suggest a couple of things about this case. It's certainly not the weakest of such cases that I've seen, and I'm concerned at the overall approach that the government takes to these abortion certificates, because the government seems to think it's like a light switch. You know, the abortion is either entirely voluntary or it's entirely involuntary. And a great many people undoubtedly acquiesce sufficiently to the abortion procedures so that they can get the certificate and they can get the time off work or whatever. And yet it's nonetheless coerced because the pressure has been placed upon them by the family planning officials. And so I'm concerned at the general approach that the government takes to these certificates. And I'm also concerned, I think, in this instance, I see two aspects of this claim. One of them is the backward-looking aspect dealing with the forced abortion. The other, another part of the family planning policy is sterilization of people who have violated it. And it seems to me our Congress has said that forced sterilization is also a form of persecution.
If I may respond in several ways, Your Honor. First of all, I note that this Court has stated that only in the most extraordinary cases will this Court overturn an adverse credibility finding. Here, I don't even think it's necessary to get to the abortion certificate because, as Your Honor noted previously, the Board listed a number of factors that convinced them that the adverse credibility finding should not be overturned, including the petitioner claimed that one incident where he was personally confronted by the family planning officials. There were multiple inconsistencies, which petitioner does not even dispute, including he testified at his credible fear interview that there were two individuals who came to his house. At his individual hearing before an immigration judge a year and change later, that number suddenly became four, then five, then four again. And actually, I think it was three at one point as well. That's an inconsistency. Again, at his credible fear hearing before an asylum officer, he stated that they threatened him with the use of an electrical shock. As the immigration judge and board both rightly noted and petitioner does not dispute, his testimony before the immigration judge was completely devoid of this claim. Again, as Your Honor noted, there was an inconsistency regarding his son's age. At one point, he had claimed his son was 18. At another point, he claimed his son was born in 1999. He refused to recognize the inconsistency, and when he even noted it, then his explanation was, well, some people may forget or whatever. But again, this is in grounds
on that one. I mean, 8 or 18 through a thick accent, I could easily imagine would be confused. And I thought that the people's ages were counted differently in China.
That wasn't an argument that was made by the petitioner, Your Honor, so I would submit it was waived. But even more so,
when you're born, you're already one.
Again, he would have been 7 under that theory, Your Honor, or 6.
But almost 8, though.
But it's still a couple of months away. Respectfully, it's a minor inconsistency, but it's still an inconsistency, and his explanations still don't square, even under the theory that Your Honor is proposing about starting with a 1. He still wouldn't have been 8 at that point in time.
By my account, looking at the months, he would have been just a couple of months away. So, I mean,
he still would have been 7.
Yeah.
It's not 8. But, again, it's a discrepancy, and he didn't propose that explanation at any point in time. Additionally, when you do finally get to the abortion certificate, and I think these other discrepancies alone would be sufficient to support an adverse credibility finding, there were discrepancies there. This court has held repeatedly in Wang and the, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this right, but the Zhou case, that the submission of that abortion certificate alone, in contrast with the State Department's statements that such a certificate is not given in instances of is only given for voluntary abortions, this court has noted that alone is grounds for an adverse credibility finding. But here more so, you have another problem. With this abortion certificate, the address on that abortion certificate is completely different from the addresses that the petitioner has provided, including in his asylum application that was filed with the assistance of counsel. When confronted with this inconsistency, the petitioner then came up with a wholly new claim. Well, actually, he had two houses. He had a city house, and then he had a rural house where he liked to vacation or relax. No mention had ever been made of this second address. And indeed, the immigration judge and board both noted it made no sense that he would be in one area where they enforced the family planning policies more stringently if he had the second residence that he could go to. Again, Your Honor, I think under this, the totality of the circumstances here, there is nothing in this record that compels the conclusion, contrary to the board and immigration judge's determination, that he wasn't credible. If I may note briefly, I think the immigration judge and board also, immigration judge made an alternative finding that he had also failed to corroborate his claims with other evidence as well. And I believe under the Real ID Act standards, again, that also was a sufficient alternative finding. But I would note that I don't even think it's necessary to get there because, again, as this court has noted, an adverse credibility finding is fatal to an asylum applicant's claim. If the court doesn't have any further questions for me,
apparently,
rest of my brief.
Thank you. Mr. Ma, your time had expired. You may have 1 minute.
Okay. First of all, the address in the record, there's no evidence in the record that my client testified that the rural address was his vacation home. He might have two houses, but he's a farmer. I think the record shows that his household register is in the countryside. The corroboration. My client submitted the certificate of abortion, a copy of his child's birth certificate, and also at least a letter from his wife. Also, everything showing that an abortion occurred and the abortion was forced. What other evidence should my client be required to submit to support his claim? That's a strong corroboration to his claim for forced abortion. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Ma. Thank you, Mr. Goring. The case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed to the...